We are continuing our series on judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Let's go to our foundation text. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and look at the 12th verse. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, and let's look at the 12th verse. Judging our thoughts and intentions of our heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. How many know we need help doing that? Amen. We need help doing that. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse reads, "For the word of God is alive. It is quick," King James says. Meaning it is alive, it is living and constantly operating. And it is active. It's in operation. And piercing or penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge and expose and sift through and analyze our thoughts, that which we think and reflect on, and that which is hidden, which only God can discern, and the intentions, conceptions, and that which we conceive in our heart. Every time I read that, you can just say we're mismatched in trying to do that. Sin knocked that out. There's no way we can do it, but thank God for His grace and mercy. Grace is giving us what we did not deserve. Mercy is withholding from us that which we do deserve. We certainly did not deserve for Him to give us His word, give us life, eternal life, to give us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to give us the blood of Jesus and the Lord Jesus Christ as a gift, and then the blood that followed that removed our sins. What we were slated for, what we were headed for, was eternal damnation. So we say thank God that He did this for us on our behalf, because He knows that we are a hot mess apart from Him. Since apart from Him, we can do nothing. So because we need every single thought sifted through, analyzed, and judged and discerned, we need that every day. Thank God that He left a way for that to be done. And that is through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit. Amen? Through the energy that God provides for each and every one of us. As you've heard me say as a reminder many times, that you know, we speak 20, 30, 40,000 words a day. Each one of those words is preceded by a thought. Then there are thoughts that we do not speak. So you may be at 30, 40, 50,000 thoughts in one day. It's a dangerous thing to just be thinking recklessly. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Word of God that judges our thoughts, that sifts through every thought, analyzes every thought. And then it lets us know what's a good thought and then what is a bad thought. We're thankful for that. We've talked about us having a false self and then a real self, true self. As I was kind of going over the notes this afternoon, this morning, I said, "Lord, is that the right word, false self? Is that the way, you know?" Because I have false self / life, a false life, false living, false persona. Tried to cover all those. I said, is that the right word? Let's look at that a little bit more. And sure enough, when we go into the synonym for the word false, it fits right in there. False is that which is untrue, incorrect, wrong, dishonest, fabricated, deceitful, made up, insincere, and deceptive. That's when we're not living according to the word of God, that all of that fits. So that was a confirmation for me. Yep, that's the right word. Because when you're not living, when your external is not matching who you are, your inner man, then that is false. That is untrue. That is incorrect, wrong, dishonest, fabricated, deceitful. It's a made up, it's insincere, it's deceptive. Then the word self, I said, well, what about that one? Self is nature, identity, character. Yeah, it's a false self. That's not your true nature, right? We're partakers of what? The divine nature. So that's not our true nature. That's not our true identity. That's not our true character. Also, persona. Persona is a facade, a role, R-O-L-E, or a front. Persona, facade, French word. It means to disguise, a smokescreen, a cover-up, concealment. All that fits. Because remember, we talked about that when we do not, when we masquerade in the ways of this world, we are covering up the Holy Spirit, and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ does not radiate through us. So we're concealing him. So all of that fits. Again, persona, facade, which is a disguise, smokescreen, a cover up, concealment. Persona also means role, R-O-L-E. An act, an appearance, a performance, a presentation, a representation. And if you're not representing, you're going to always represent somebody. You're supposed to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, but when we don't live right, then we, our representation or our presentation then is false, untrue, incorrect. Does that fit? Yeah. And then lastly, the word persona means front. Remember, I used to tell for man, you just front. Front means opposite or counterpart. Yeah, you're not acting the way you're supposed to be acting. And so we talked about our false self, our persona, our life, our living that we put forth in front of other people, that which is untrue, incorrect, dishonest, fabricated, deceitful, insincere, deceptive. Now let's look at Romans 12. This is still our review. Look at Romans chapter 12 again. Look at verse 2. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 2. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world. Right? Do not take the shape outwardly of the world, but be transformed, which is an inward transfiguration, by the renewing of your mind, your thoughts, your inwards, so that you may prove what the will of the Lord is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. I know we've gone over this, but as we took apart the word false and the word self and the word persona, we can see that that is what was happening when you reread Romans 12, 2. Stop assuming an outward expression, which is patterned after the world, because that expression is a facade. It's a cover-up. It's a concealment. It's a disguise. Stop masquerading in the ways of the world. It's mannerisms, speech, expressions, and styles and habits. That's the false self. We've gone over that. The real self, our true self. We've been talking about that. Look at Romans 12, 2 again. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Instead of masquerading in a costume that looks like the world or the ways of this age, Paul is exhorting us to be transformed. Be transformed. To change our outward expression to match that which is representative of our inner being. remembering that that inner being has been reformed, regenerated, and born again. All right. I began to look at the inner man in Scripture. We saw some things. We stopped at, I know we looked at John chapter 2, the Gospel of John chapter 2, verse 25. It says, Jesus, he did not need anyone to testify concerning man because he himself knew what was in man. And that's a reminder that Jesus always knows our real self.
Amen.
If he knows what's in man, that's where the real person is. Remember, the word of God says again in Samuel, I know I bring it up almost every time, but we need to remind ourselves of it. Man sees not as God sees. For man looks on the outward, but God sees the heart. God sees the heart. Jesus knew what was in man. God the Father, God the Son, both see the real person. We can be fooled by all the smoke screen and the disguise and the cover up, the costume. Because the costume that Eliab was wearing was beautiful to Samuel. And God said, I have rejected him. Why? I see the real him. Let that not once be said of us. The dramatic said it best. What you see is what you get. And I'm the real thing yet. You want folks, when they look at us, they see Christ Jesus. They see somebody obviously progressing toward Christ-likeness.
Amen.
I said, obviously progressing toward Christ-likeness. In other words, conformity to the image and likeness of our big brother. Obviously, at all times. When you're in McDonald's in the line and they give you a double cheeseburger and you ask for a Big Mac, you can't just flip out. Amen. You ought to talk to yourself. You know, this is a great time to show Christ likeness. I thank God the Holy Spirit started coaching like this. Okay, this is a great time to show Christ Jesus. Because you mad, you far hopping mad. You don't have much time. You came in with 2 seconds left, really, to get it done. And now they done messed up your order. Time to show Christ-likeness. Time to bring it front and center. And you know what I bring? I know it's a little comical, but you know, those are the little things that just blow you away. Like, man, I just went in for a Big Mac. They said, man, I'm up here cussing. I've been arrested. I'm in the back seat of the car. What happened? You know, how did I become that guy? Can happen just like that. Yeah. If they go well, then boom, out the blue. He knew what was in man. He knew that you would explode if your Big Mac wasn't given to you right. Because he knows what's in man. Let him, when he looks in us, see some things progressing toward his image and likeness. We know we're not there yet, but we want to clearly be going that way. Does that make sense? Ephesians chapter 4. I think this is where we stop. We might have stopped at John 2. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He says, and put on the new self, new man, the new nature. The new man, the regenerated self. Put that on. Which in the likeness or image of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So the new man has the new inner, your new being, the regenerated self, the real you. has been created in righteousness and holiness. It's God-like. He said we're God, but we're God-like. See, I mean, when you read something like that, we've been set up. Because once you find that out, you are obligated to act right. Does that make sense? You just can't go out here and act in your old kind of way. I heard it before, yeah, but keep hearing it. I've heard it too. But for me, I can't hear it enough. Because those situations just sneak up on you in a heartbeat. There are over 7 billion people on this planet. You got plenty of opportunity. I got plenty. We got plenty of opportunity to grow. Plenty. If you just stay only around your family, that's enough to grow into juicy Christ-likeness. Amen? Just your family alone. Let alone all the strangers about the world. Just family. But it's designed. And if you take advantage of it, you're on your way to being like Christ. The sanctification process is brutal. Needs to be, but it is well worth it. Because afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit. Amen? Afterward always comes. Because he who began a good work is faithful to stop right there. Complete it. That means afterward. Because we're not completed yet, but afterward we will be. And what is that process called when we're complete?
Glorification.
That's what I want some scholars in the house. Yes. Glorification. Amen. Stay locked in on that. I was telling the men's group on Monday. I might have been telling y'all on Sunday. I don't know. We ministered all kind of folk. You know, I'll tell somebody. I might be new all on Sunday. Anthony Bourdain, I mentioned that in Kate, that was Sunday. And it was Kate Spades, I think her name is. Was she in the cooking and stuff? Cookware or something?
Designer.
Okay. Tell you how much I know. You reach the top. I don't hear me say this on Sunday, but really think, that just blown me away. When you are, you thinking about this, you're in the world, your whole thing is to get to the top. Be famous. And you can be internationally famous and rich. You're like, I've reached the top. You get there. Your whole life is there. And you got there. And there was nothing there. That had to be one of the biggest disappointments in their entire life. How sad. When we sing the song, our hope is not in this life, nor in this world's passing rewards. That's a great part of the song to start out with. Thank God it's not in this life or in the rewards of this life.
Amen.
Comma, but our hope is in a life that will never end.
Amen.
Further, our hope is in you, Jesus.
Yes.
Risen King and ascended Lord. Even death itself could not hold you in the grave.
Amen.
That's what our hope is in. That's a hope that will never disappoint. Fella told his children the right thing. Everything in this life, everything, everything and everyone in this life will disappoint. That's guaranteed. It's guaranteed to disappoint sooner or later. Children know that. I'm talking about they don't know it in the fullness, but they get disappointed all the time. Everybody but the things of God, God and everything belongs to God, will never disappoint. Put on the new self, the new nature, the new man, the regenerated self. Put him on like clothes, which in the likeness and image of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. We have no excuse to act like the world. When we act like the world, we have deliberately, on purpose, chosen to do that. We have no one to blame but ourselves. Word of life, are we listening?
Amen.
Yeah. When you think about your life, think about what happened today. Think about the thoughts you thought. I'm not even talking about just action. Remember, with God, all of it is sin. He sees all the sins. Sin spoken and unspoken. Seen and unseen. Now, and this is probably going to take all the rest of this time here. Here's a statement. Our true self, our real self. You hear that? Our real self, our true self, is responsible for keeping our flesh, which is the root of the false self. At the root of the false self is our flesh, under control. So our real self, the real us, the one we just read about in Ephesians chapter 4, the new self, the new nature, the new man, the regenerated self, that person, the real us, is responsible for keeping and controlling our flesh, which is the false, which is at the root of the false self. You follow that? We're responsible for that. So it looks something like this. You have your, this is the real self, or the true self. And you put on the regenerated self, the redeemed self. That's the real self. That's us. This is the inner man. Now, let's treat flesh like a separate thing. It's our flesh. This guy got to keep this dude under control. Now, I'm going to show you why I did it like that, why I separated him. I want you to look at that. Let's look over at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 14. Romans chapter 7, verse 14. I'm going to say it again. Our real self, our true self, the regenerate self, the redeemed self, is responsible for controlling our false self, which at the root of that is our flesh. Look at verse 14, Romans 7. For we know that the law is spiritual. Sure, because it came from God. But I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. That was the state of every one of us ever born. We were in bondage, sold into bondage to sin. Verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. See, that's the battle. Let me show that look. That's the battle. So the real self is battling with this old flesh. This flesh keeps doing the very thing that the real regenerate self actually hates. That's the battle. That's the fight. Verse 16. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good, because it is the law that points out to me that this is bad. You follow that? The law pointed out our sin. It's going to say, apart from the law, apart from sin, there is no law. But because there is law, there is sin. Because the law said, thou shalt not. And once the law said, thou shalt not, Then if you not, if you do do it, then it's a sin. You all right back there? I love Revelation back there. Yes, she like she was shouting back there. Keep ministering, Lord. Keep ministering. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, 16. But if I do the very thing I do not want to do, see, if I do the very thing I don't want to do, see, my the rear, you don't want to do it. The flesh is screaming and hollering, putting pressure. That battle, am I right, Miss Cheryl? It's a battle. It's a battle every day. He said, but if I do the thing I don't want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good, because again, it points out my sin. 17. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. Now I wanna explain that, because somebody run out here crazy. You don't understand that. This does not mean that you can sidestep responsibility and shirk your responsibility and say, well, I'm not responsible. They ain't me doing it. But sin which dwells in me. That's not what he's saying in that sense. So it's not, so I'm not responsible. It ain't my fault. It's not what he's saying. Verse 18, he breaks it down. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, comma, that is, let me clarify that, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why I put them separate. See, in me, that is, in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Flesh and me are two different things. Does that make sense? Yeah. You got to understand that. That's why we started this piece by saying our real true self is responsible for keeping our flesh under control. This must keep this under control. This flesh is not you. Okay? Any questions or comments behind that? You understand that? That's why he says, that's why he clarifies it. He said, there's no good thing dwells in me, comma, that is in my flesh. Because I'm regenerated. I'm born again. I'm redeemed. I got the nature of I'm a partaker of the divine nature. I'm good over here, but I got this. This is unregenerate. This is unredeemed. No partaker of divine nature. Sin nature all up in there. But I realize my responsibility is I got to control this. But word of life, you got to understand it first. Understand that your flesh is not you. Why are you saying that? Two things. You're separate. You need to understand you're separate from that, number one. And number two, you don't have to give in to it. Just because it's telling you I'm screaming and hollering, you're responsible for controlling it. Let it scream, let it holler, but suppress it. That's where the fight is. Do we understand that?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. This is crucial. This is us, the real, true, genuine us. It's not us. See, the thing about it is, if you understand this, it's going to turn your life around in so many areas that you've been struggling with habitually. Like it's been a struggle for years. Understand that this guy can be controlled by the real you, who've been made in the image and likeness of God, has a divine nature, has the power of God. Apostle Paul made it clear. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to always be a fight. It's going to always be a fight. Realize it's a fight that you can keep under control and eventually win.
Amen.
Our flesh does not have to be out of control, no matter how strong the desires are. See, that's a lie of the world. Homosexuality, lesbianism, a girl have a certain feeling toward another girl, just have maybe a certain feeling. Yes, same tempts us with same sex attraction. He certainly does. But this, you are not your emotions, you're not your feelings, you're not your attractions. You are not your attractions. Amen. You are not your sensual desires. You can have a sensual desire, but that does not mean that's who you are. And you certainly don't have to act on it. The world is saying you are. You do have to act on it. As Christians, understand that is not us. We understand who we are, and we understand who our flesh is.
We are going to grow strong in Christ Jesus, but the flesh is going to always be there until we die.
Amen.
This sin nature. So Apostle Paul says in verse 17, so now, no longer am I the one doing it. I'm not this really here. The real me isn't doing this, but it's the sin nature that's in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, the real me, but the doing of it is not. The real me wants to do what's right, but that flesh is right there with me. Verse 19. For the good that I want, whenever you see the wanting good, that's the real me. The good that I want, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not want. And that's the fight, just fight that goes on and on and on. Verse 20. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. And again, he's making that distinction. It's not me, because I'm regenerated. I'm born again. But it's my flesh, which is where sin dwells. This ought to help us understand why we still have sin, why we're still tempted to sin, even though we're Christians, we're going to be born again, even though the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sin. Yeah, he didn't cleanse the flesh. He didn't get rid of it. We're born again, but not this. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Verse 21. I find then the principle or a law that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. So basically, the me who want to do good, and every time I want to do good, evil is present. Don't we find that? No, I'm going to do good. I'm going to do right. Be good. I'm going to bear down. And all hell break loose just on that day. On the day you decide I'm going to get them to take care of business, here come all hell. The finest woman in the world walks into your shop. Or the most handsome, Hollywoodish guy walks into your shop. You just said, I'm going to tighten up. And bam, there you go. Evil is present with me. Verse 22. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. My inner man, the real me, joyfully agrees with the law of God. Verse 23. But I see a different law in the members of my body waging war against the law of my mind, which is the real him, which is synonymous for the real him, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. So my member, how does the flesh exhibit itself? How does it manifest itself? Through your body, through your members. You sin with your mouth by cussing. When you go and have relations with someone you shouldn't be with, you do that with your body. When you lust of someone, you do that with your eyes. It's the members of your body that you use that manifest the desires of your flesh.
Yeah.
That's where it gets out of control. When the flesh starts screaming, the body's right there to acquiesce. The real us gotta say, hey, wait a minute. Nope. Keep that under control. He said, I see a different law of my members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, which is where the battle is on the inner, and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body, from this body of death? Thank God for the answer. Thanks be to God. And through Christ Jesus, he will. That's what that's in parentheses. He'll do that. So then, on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, the real me, serving the law of God, comma, but on the other, with my flesh, I serve the law of sin. Notice again the separation. I serve the law of God. The battle lines have been clearly drawn. The real us can handle it because it's the nature of God in you, right? We're not asking you, Ms. Cheryl, or you, Ms. Palmer, or whoever, to do this on your own. He's telling us. Let's go back as we close, because that can be that, all that can be very discouraging. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 right quick. Ephesians chapter 4 right quick. And we'll close. And look at verse 24. Ephesians 4 verse 24. So it says, and put on a new man. Hold on 1 second. And put on a new man, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Your new man has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. The Amplified says the regenerated self, created in God's image, Godlike in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, as a result of all of that, reject all falsity and falsehood and speak the truth. And so because of that, you can speak the truth. You can reject falsehood. You can shut this flesh down, or at least control it. Why? Again, because you have been, you are clothed in a new man, the new self, the regenerated self that's been created in God's image. I love that in the Amplified. Created in God's image. Created in righteousness and holiness. You can, I can, we can control our flesh. You won't shut it down. You won't kill it. I know it says to kill the members, but you won't kill it in the sense that it is inoperative, but you can kill it in the sense of controlling it. Father God, we got work to do. It's a daily work. It's a daily fight. But it is a fight that we can win on a daily basis. Help us to understand the battle lines, understand who we are, understand who our flesh is, that we are not our flesh. When our flesh screams out, we don't have to give in. We can tell, and we're able to tell our flesh no. And we will tell it no. By your grace and your mercy, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of the living God, we will control our flesh. And in so doing, we will bring you much praise, much honor, and much glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.